But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." When I was little, I always used to think it would be really, really exciting to have seen an angel. I used to look everywhere to try and find one, but I never managed to see one. And I think it would have been really exciting to have seen an angel. But seeing as the first four words that angels usually say when they appear are not, "Are you sitting comfortably?" or "Hello, how are you?" but rather, "Do not be afraid," I'm imagining that it is rather a terrifying thing to see an angel. And that's what happened to these shepherds here. Verse 9, they're not simply afraid. We read that they were terrified. They were greatly afraid. Why were they so afraid? Well, you think it's blindingly obvious, isn't it? There you are, sat in the darkness, all calm and normal, having a laugh maybe with your friends, and suddenly a great light shines. You see an angel, you've not seen one before. It's going to be completely terrifying, isn't it? It's going to be a heart-stopping moment. Up in the lonely hills above Bethlehem, maybe sometimes you try and scare your friends if you're a shepherd and throw a stone behind them. "What was that?" And everybody jumps. Well, everybody jumped on this occasion. Suddenly light shines. There's an angel speaking to them. Of course it was terrifying. Well, I wonder if there's a bit more to it than that. You see, these shepherds, they were Jews. And they would have been steeped in Old Testament history. And to them, the appearance of an angel would probably have made them think of judgment. Because that's what often happens in the Old Testament. When an angel appears, it's the sign of judgment. And it's not impossible that they thought that this was the end of the world. Here's something for you to think about. God says that one day Jesus Christ will return again with his holy angels, and a trumpet is going to sound that will shatter everything. The voice of an archangel will be heard that will stop the earth. And I don't think the first four words then will be "do not be afraid," because Jesus will be returning as judge. But at this point, he hasn't appeared as judge. The angel is announcing the arrival, not of Christ the judge, but Christ the Saviour. A baby born into our race to be a Saviour to all who believe in him. So here's the first thing that we're going to notice. There is good news. And actually that doesn't do it justice, because the angel says there is good news of great joy. It's the best, greatest news that you could ever hear. And I get to tell you about it this morning. That's incredible. I get to tell you the greatest news that you could ever hear. I count myself incredibly privileged. Maybe you will hear something this morning that will not just change your life, but it will change your eternity. You might bless this day for the rest of your lives because of the good news that you get to hear this morning. It's better than you could ever imagine. You might think I'm joking, but it's not. What's the best news that you could hear? You might be thinking, well, seriously, the best news I could hear is that a cure has been found for a disease that I've got. And if I could hear that, this terminal illness that I've got, if there was a cure that could be found for that, that would be the greatest news I could ever, ever hear. Well, that would be fantastic news. But this news is actually even better, because even if we were cured from some terrible disease, we'd still face death. But I get to tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that we should not perish if we believe in him, but rather have everlasting life. I get to tell you about life that can't even be extinguished by death.
about resurrection life, where illness won't merely be cured, but it will be eradicated, and death swept away, and immortality and power and majesty be yours in a resurrection state forever and ever. That's good news, isn't it? It's real. That's what Christ comes to bring.
Maybe you're thinking, oh, my good news would be hearing that I got an inheritance that was going to give me enough cash to live happily ever after. Well, okay, maybe that'd be really nice, but happily ever after comes to a close still, doesn't it? And there's still the end to face, and then you leave it all behind. Everything gets left behind. And my good news is better. I get to tell you about treasure in heaven that can't be taken away, will never be lost, will never ever be corrupted. It won't pass away. I get to tell you about a place in what Jesus called paradise, an inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth, where the world will be purged from all of the stains and horrors of sin and failure and evil and disappointment. My good news literally promises you the earth to enjoy with God forever and ever. Or maybe you might say, well, the news that I really want to hear is that somebody loves me, that somebody I love loves me. Well, again, I get to tell you something better. My good news is that no one less than Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, God who is infinite and immeasurable, God who is glorious and majestic and beautiful, that this God so loved a lost world of helpless, hopeless sinners like you and me, that he gave his one and only Son to be our Saviour. That's love. That this great, glorious God loved the smallest, most insignificant thing, me, and gave the greatest impossible gift, his Son, to be our Saviour. And that really is good news of great joy. And I want you to hear that. And I want you to receive it. I don't want you to give anything. We're not after your money. We're not after your applause. We want you to receive from God the greatest gift imaginable, which is salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Secondly, let's be more specific then. What exactly does this good news consist of? Well, the angel says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This good news begins with the birth of a child. And we might think, well, so what? Children are born every single day. Lots and lots and lots of children. I looked it up on Google, managed to find some United Nations figures, which says that 384,000 children are born every single day. I can't get my mind around that. 4.45 children every single second. And that's exciting to the parents, and to the grandparents, and to the wider family. They get really excited hearing about that child being born. But how could the birth of a child thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away, have any impact on me? Well, it must have an impact on you. Because this child is a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This child is unique. He is Christ. That means the Messiah. The one that God had been promising right through history. The one who we sang about in that carol, Genesis chapter 3, would crush Satan's head. The one who God promised to Abraham that he would be a blessing to all of the nations on this earth. The one who God said to Isaiah would bring light to those who were walking in darkness. And he would heal the brokenhearted. The one who would be able to destroy death and reign as king over an everlasting kingdom, the great kingdom of God. This is the one that God had been promising, and he is Christ,
the Lord. What does that mean, the Lord? Well, it means that he is God.
The work that God has given him to do is so impossible, so incredible, that nobody from our fallen family was able to do it. It's too much for us. There are some great people in the Old Testament, some amazing people: Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Daniel, Ruth, but they couldn't do it. They were all sinners. They were all failures in their own lives. So what God has done is what he promised to do. He gave his own son to be our king and saviour. This child is unique. He's one of us. He's human. And yet he is God. He's taken our humanity to be our saviour. I don't know if you ever sit back to think about that at Christmas. I hope you do. Because it's inexplicable. It's incomprehensible. It's impossible. It's a complete mystery. The infinite God lays aside his glory and takes our humanity to be born through a virgin. God swaps the throne of heaven for a feeding trough for an animal. Amazing, isn't it? It's astonishing. God stoops down to be our saviour. And that raises the question, why? Saviour from what? Maybe you've never ever realised that you need saving. You look at yourself, you're not marooned on a desert island, are you? You're sat in a comfortable hall in Netley. You're not the hostage of Somali pirates. You're not in danger from some terrible enemy, you think. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned? Let me define sin. Sin, according to God, is lawlessness. It's breaking God's law. And God has set out in Scripture a framework, a law, by which he expects us to live. And it's clear, and it's impossible for us to keep. And the pass mark, in God's eyes, is not 50% or 51% or even 87% or 99.9%. The pass mark, if you want to keep God's law and be saved, is 100%. It's perfection. And failure brings judgment. The law was summed up by God like this: it's to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. Wholehearted, committed love for God and others. And I haven't done that. And you haven't done it. What we've done is we put ourselves first, haven't we? And then we put other people somewhere, and then we put other things somewhere, and then eventually we get to God, and he's a long, long way down the line, behind our hobbies and our pets, even the guinea pigs. Anything and everything we will put before God. We don't love God as God wants us to love him. We've all tried to live without God. We've rejected him. We stand under God's judgment. But instead of giving us what we deserve, God gave us his son to be our saviour. And that is awesome good news. This child grew into a boy, then a teenager, then a man. And his life was completely perfect in God's eyes. God could look at Jesus every single second of every single day and say, that's what I was looking for in humanity. That is perfection. This is my son with whom I am so pleased. He loves me. He loves his neighbour as himself. He gives himself for others. He befriends the lonely. He heals the sick. He mends the broken. It's an absolutely beautiful life. It's a life of perfection. He keeps the law. And yet at the end of that pure, holy life, he goes to the cross. And Jesus and the Father work together to put away our sin forever and ever. And the Father's prepared to take the sin of billions of people like me and put it onto the head of the Son that he loved so much. And Jesus offers up his life as a sacrifice
in my place. Again, I can't get over it. The Father punished my sin through dealing with it in his beloved Son. And in exchange, he takes Christ's perfect life and he gives that to me. That is good news. Jesus gets from God what I deserve, and I get from Jesus what he earned and he deserved. My sin goes forever and ever from the accounts of heaven and will never ever stand against me, because Christ died a saviour of sinners like me. And God showed that he'd accepted that offering that this child would one day give at Calvary as he raised him from the dead. And that brings me to the third point. Who is it for? Well, again, the angel tells the shepherds. Verse 10, the good news of a saviour will be for all people. The invitation, the call to believe in Jesus Christ as saviour and Lord and receive full forgiveness of sins and his eternal life is to be offered to all people. Not just to Jewish shepherds, not just to Eastern wise men. This is to be offered to all of us, to the respectable and the notorious, because both still need a saviour. It's to be offered to the rich and the poor, and it's offered freely. Money can't buy it. Nothing can earn it. This can only be received through faith from God. It's to be offered to the intellectual and the not so intellectual, to the young, to the old, to the black, to the white. Jesus, God's Son, is the one Saviour of the world. 30 years or so later, this child, now a man, would stand and say, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And it's still this good news offered to people today. And it's offered to you. It's no good just having the invitation, is it? It's going to be a big event next year. It's going to be a royal wedding. William and Kate are going to get married. Imagine that through your letterbox, the invitation to the great event comes. Some of you men don't look too interested, but I reckon the ladies would be quite excited about going to the Abbey, isn't it? They're going to get married in, and wherever it's going to be, going to the reception, being part of that great event, sitting on the top table because they liked you. And you got an invitation. What would you do with it? Well, you stick it up on the wall and look at it, and then look at it for the rest of the year and keep looking at it. You wouldn't, would you? You would respond to it if you wanted to go. Some of you wouldn't, but lots of you would. And you would respond. You'd say, I want to come. I'd love to be there. Well, what do you do with God's invitation? What do you do as God says to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, come and have everlasting life, forgiveness from your sins, the judgment lifted from your head, the death sentence taken away, the promise of everlasting life through Christ? Will you respond to him? Will you believe in Jesus as your Saviour? He's no longer the child in the manger. He's no longer the king on the cross. He's the risen, exalted King, the Lord over all, who receive all who call on him and bless them with all the blessings and gifts and love and joy of Almighty God. Hear the good news. Jesus Christ is Saviour and Lord. And respond to it as by faith you say, Lord, I come to you. There's nobody else that I can turn to. There's nobody else that can save me. There's nobody else that I want. I give my life to you. I trust you. Receive me, Lord Jesus, and he will. Let's pray.